Well, I'm thankful to be here tonight. You know, the Lord spoke to us on Sunday morning during the course of our Sunday morning service and told us to have special services this week. And of course, we normally have our Wednesday night, and so we added Monday and Tuesday night to that. And so tonight will be our second special service. You know, tomorrow night's going to be just as special, but this is the extra service. Amen. And thank you for making the effort last night to come out and to believe God and to be here. And thank you for making the effort tonight to come out and to believe God and to be here. And I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to us. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
He spoke a lot of things to us last night. And, you know, he's been speaking some of these things to me for a little while now. And actually, I ministered a little bit of this when we were in Fiji all last week. And a lot was said. A lot was said by the Spirit of God. This is a very important time that we're in. And the time is short. And there are things that we need to grasp if we're going to move over into this arena that the Lord has for us in the kingdom, where we can see heaven, the glories of heaven, here on the earth, in the midst of hell, before we're all taken out of here. Amen.
Amen.
Signs, wonders, miracles, all kinds of things. And when we begin to understand some of these basic principles that we started talking about last night, then the healings become easier, because that's normal. Amen. That's normal in the kingdom of God. And it's not normal to not be healed. Healing's normal. Amen. Say it with me. Healing's normal.
Healing's normal.
You know, tumors disappearing, that's normal. I laid hands on a gentleman the other night, a young gentleman, and I don't think I'd seen him before, but somebody had brought him to the meetings and laid hands on him, and he had, just a couple of months ago, he had been run over, literally run over by a car, and had broken his back, broken his neck, and he had plates in his legs, and had brain surgery, had a big scar here on the side of his head where he had to have brain surgery, where I guess, you know, there was some type of damage there. And, you know, he waddled up to the front and we laid hands on him. And I believe the power of God went into this man. And, you know, his eyes got big and filled with tears. And, wow, something's happening.
Amen.
Amen. Something's happening.
Amen.
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 You know, the anointing will come and manifest itself in these last days in a mighty way if we'll dare to believe God.
Amen.
And change our thinking about God and the kingdom of God. If we truly understood that Jesus was 100% good 100% of the time, we would have no reservations whatsoever ministering the healing power of God to other people.
Amen.
You hearing me? We have reservations about it because we're not fully convinced. Well, you know what? If there's something in their life, and, you know, maybe there is. But that's not for us to get in there and try to figure all out.
Amen.
Amen. Either he's good or he's not. He's good.
Amen.
This is not based on, you know, them being good. It's based on a free gift of God's love and of his grace. Amen.
Amen?
And so we need to change our thinking about some things, and we need to humble ourselves in that regard. And so we opened up here last night, and so let's turn there again to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 from the New King James, it says, "If my people," that's a big word right there, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Notice that. Will humble themselves. Humility is key to seeing the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Humility is key to seeing the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. We must have a change in our thinking about ourselves. We think far too much about ourselves. Are you here?
Amen.
And we've all been guilty of it from time to time. But notice the result here. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn. Say turn.
Turn.
And turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Now, look over to James, the book of James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and we can pick it up here in verse 6. It says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You see that? He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. What's the next one? You double-minded. A man of two minds is not good. He must not be double-minded. Amen?
Amen.
Get rid of the pride.
Yes.
Verse 10, move down through there. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The unrenewed mind is a prideful mind. The renewed mind is a humble mind. The renewed mind is a repentant mind.
Amen.
The unrenewed mind is an unrepentant mind.
Yes.
The mind matters.
Amen?
Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Amen? The mind matters. And so let's look over. We'll look at this verse again, and then I'm going to ask my preaching partner to come up a little bit. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 17. Are you seeing this verse in a different light?
Yeah.
It says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, this was the beginning of his ministry. Amen. Beginning of his ministry, and the first message, more or less, out of his mouth was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We discovered that repent means what? Huh? Change direction, change course. Repent, re means to do something over again, right? Pent. We're going to return again to that high place. Amen? So repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It means to change your thinking about these things. A lot of times we regulate repentance down to some major type of sin or, you know, living without God, living without Christ being, you know, the center of our heart and life. And that's only part of it. Amen. We must be saved. We must be born again. Absolutely. And repentance opens up the door for that. Right? But repentance shouldn't end. There should be a continual change that is going on in our minds, where our minds are being renewed and where we're growing and we're rooting out things as the Holy Spirit begins to point things out to us. You know, he can point things out to the person who's humble to receive.
That's right.
Amen. You can only receive what humility will allow you to receive. And if you're prideful, you're going to have a very hard time receiving, especially from God, because he can point out some things. He has a way of pointing out things in us. And when we're humble, then he can point things out. And he says, you really need to change your thinking about this. Because you're thinking wrong. And if you change your direction in your thinking, begin to think in line with my kingdom, then heaven is right here at hand. And this doesn't have to be a struggle. You don't have to try to do this in your own strength. That it's right here. It's within your grasp if you'll change your thinking. Change your direction. Get the sin out of your thinking. Renew your mind. Humble yourself. Amen? Amen. It's the humble that get the grace, or we could put it to you this way. It's the humble that get the help. Amen. The prideful man doesn't want any help. But the humble man realizes he needs help. And we need to grow. Amen. Hallelujah. Come up here, sweetheart. We're going to tag team a little bit here and see where the Holy Spirit takes us.
Amen. Did you see my notes earlier?
No.
You were peeking at my notes, weren't you?
Holy Ghost was, though.
That's right. He sure was. Because my first scripture, I wrote down, we were kind of like, well, we'll just get up and see what the Holy Ghost wants. So kind of works on his and I work on mine. And so my first scripture is 2 Chronicles. So let's go right back where we were. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Praise God. You know, while you're turning there, I was thinking about something, you know, years ago, gosh, now 20 however many years ago, I remember sitting in class, and at that time we were so privileged. Keith Moore was one of our instructors, and this was before, of course, he went on and to pastor his own church and everything, and several churches now. But we were so fortunate. We were one of the last few classes to have him as a full-time instructor. And I remember so many things, so many statements that he made, so much truth came out. But there was a particular thing that he said that has stuck with me, and I have used it time and time and time again in my own life, but I've used it time and time again to help others. And when Wayne was just sharing what he did, something just it rose up on the inside of me. And I remember he said this. He said, when you're dealing with people, as we all do, including ourselves, because you be people, right? He said this, he said, it's not what someone needs, but it's what they can receive. It's not what someone needs, but it's what they can receive. See, someone may need a lot. They may need a major course correction. They may need some severe help. I mean, you may be able to look at their life and you may think, oh my goodness, this person needs this and this, 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 and they need to do this, and they better do this fast or else, I mean, their life is just gonna, I mean, if they don't do this, this is, they need this. Or others may look at your life and say that. How about that? But it's not necessarily what we need. Yeah, that's the truth. That may be what's needed, but it's what we can receive. And we can only receive to the level that we are humble enough to receive. We'll only receive to the levels of our humility. Amen. Because it takes a lot, amen, to receive. Many times, to receive a strong word, to receive strong correction, it takes a lot of humility, because the nature of the flesh is pride. Isn't that right? The nature of the flesh, unrenewed flesh, the nature of the flesh in all of us, whether you like it or not, it's just the way that it is. Every one of us, the nature of our flesh is pride. Absolutely. But the nature of our born-again spirit, the nature of the new man, is what? Humility. That's right. They oppose each other, don't they? And so, and Paul talked about how there's this war often, it seems like, going on the inside of me. And what is that? Bottom line is it's a struggle between pride and humility. Absolutely. And so that's something I want to throw out there, because it's really good to always remember that, you know, because we're all called to ministry, aren't we? We're all called to minister. You're ministering on a daily basis. Your life is ministry. If you're born again, then you've been given the go ye command into all the world. And so whatever your world is, where you're at, your life should be ministering. And many times, and see, this works both ways. And it's interesting because I didn't really plan on going this way, but we'll finish this thought out and see where the Lord wants us to go. But it works both ways. See, it takes humility for somebody to receive, but it also takes humility for someone to give just what that person needs and not anymore. Because, see, that's where a lot of times people have gotten turned off with God, so to speak, in church. Because sometimes you can look at someone's life and you can see this, oh my, they need this. And we make the mistake of wanting to drill it in there and drive it home and to get our point across. But that, and what is that? What is that? Well, they've got to, who said they've got to? Why don't you humble yourself, check your heart, listen to the Holy Ghost, and just give them what they need? Yeah, but what if, but that what if is not on you? Because we're not the Savior. And so the Holy Spirit needs yielded, humble vessels to be able to say, to be able to hear him and say, Jesus said, I only say what I hear the Father say. Can we say that? I mean, think about it. In times of ministry, in times of confrontation, in times in dealing with people, did we go throughout our whole day today and did you say only what you heard the Father say? No. No. But yet we're to be like him. And so that's attainable. That's for us. Amen. That's for us in this life. That's not just for us in the sweet by and by when we all get to heaven and one day we're all going to be like Jesus. That's for now. Amen. And so humility is key to everything, as Pastor was saying. It's key to everything in the kingdom of God. And this is just becoming so big on the inside of me, and it has been for months and months and months, and I just find it so interesting that, I mean, I just, all these months and months and months, I've just thought, thank you, Lord, you're working on me. Not, you know, not thinking, okay, we're going to be preaching this one day. But I believe the Lord is saying something, isn't he? Amen. So 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. Now let's look at this in the Amplified. Amen. If you know me, I love looking at the Amplified. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who's he talking about? This is us. Amen. So pay attention. This is us. If my people who are called by my name shall, number one, and write a number one right there. I got a number one right by there. That's my first step. He's given us instructions. He says, if my people called by my name shall humble themselves. I wrote a little number one. This is the first step. Humble themselves. And now this just blows a lot of religious teaching out of the water if we would just read our Bible, because it does not say that God does the humbling. How many of you ever heard that? Well, you just play around long enough and God will humble you. Yep, that's right. Well, that cancer was, you know, that God's going to humble you with that. No. God is not so weak that he has to steal from the devil's bags of tricks to teach us lessons. He's all good 100% all the time. And he doesn't have to use sickness and disease, poverty, lack, trauma, tragedy, the death of somebody. He doesn't do these things to teach us a lesson, to humble us. But the Bible plainly says that the humbling is up to us. Amen. If anyone's going to humble me, it's me. That's what humility's all about. Isn't that right? Amen. So he says, shall humble themselves. Notice the order, because there's a significant order here. Many times as believers, and especially a word of faith, we go right to the praying. We go right to the saying. We go right to the confessing. We go right to the declaring. And nothing's wrong with that. It's important. But sometimes I think we miss a huge step. Humble ourselves. Number two, pray. And the Amplified says, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face. That's huge, isn't it? Now, that gives us a whole bigger picture than just, now I lay me down to sleep, Lord, I pray. Don't pray that. Please tell. I don't even want to know if anybody in here prays that, because, and nobody, that is a horrible, that's not even a prayer. It's horrible. Don't say that. But you know what I mean. When we say pray, the Amplified now paints a picture, meaning pray, seek. What does it mean to seek? It means to go after, to on purpose look for something or someone, to on purpose go after. You're focusing. You have a mission, right? You're seeking. To crave. We know what it's like to crave. Have you ever craved something so bad that you finally just had to get up at the middle of the night or at some weird time and you had to go out of your way to make sure that you got it? Or maybe you've had a pregnant wife. And you have to have it. Well, come on, let's ask ourselves tonight, church. Let's be humble and let's be honest. Do we really crave God? I mean, ask yourself. It's about you and Him tonight. Do you honestly really crave? Do you wake up in the morning and do you ever have the thought, oh, God, I cannot wait to spend time with you today? Or do we wake up and we think, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry. What am I going to eat today? And those are normal thoughts. Nothing wrong with that. But at some point, do we really crave the presence of God? Do we crave church? Think about it. You know, I was thinking about this, how people talk about, well, you know, I remember when I was first saved, and I remember when, and I couldn't wait till the church doors were open, and I remember when, you know, God brought me out, and when God delivered me, and I remember when God saved my marriage, and I remember when God did this for me, and God did this, and oh, I just couldn't wait. And you know, I've really been thinking about that, because you hear people say these things, and I've really been thinking about this. If you have to remember when, you must not presently be walking in that. If the sum of, if the good old days, if the sum of our relationship with the Lord is, well, you know, I remember when I used to be on fire. Okay, then that means you are not now. Oh, come on. Well, I remember when I couldn't wait to come to church. And I remember when, if I had to miss a service, man, it just felt like something was wrong. Felt like something was missing. And something just felt off. And I couldn't wait till the messages were online. I couldn't wait to try to find out what was said. What was the message? Who preached? What was this? All of these things, right? Does anybody remember when? Come on. I mean, if you can't be honest in church. Yeah. And there are things in all of our lives that we can probably pinpoint and go, oh, yeah, I was a little more excited about that at one time. Yeah, I think I was a little more in love with this facet of God at this one time. But what about now? What are we doing about right now? And see, everything that's being said, you know what? It's going to be filtered either through humility or through pride. And humility is going to say, all right, and take a look inward and take a long, honest look at ourself, nobody else. Hey, man, this is not one of those messages, you know, man, so-and-so should have really been here. You know, if all these people that come on Sunday morning, they should have really been here. Well, guess who is here? We are here. So perhaps we need to hear this. Yeah, everybody else does too, but since we're the ones that are here, we get the opportunity to humble ourselves. And pride will say, you don't know me. You don't know my walk with the Lord. You can't judge me. That's pride's famous line. Don't judge me. That is just so symbolic. I mean, that just screams, I am prideful. Don't judge me. You're judging me. And so what if they were? Who are you? Well, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, only in him. We forget that sometimes. We're only good. We're all of these things that he says we are, but we have to remember that we're all of these things in him. And so it's okay. We can stand to be corrected. Hey, man, I got to thinking about that statement. I thought, who cares? What, I mean, don't judge me. Well, what if somebody does? Who cares? I mean, all right. What's the, why do so many things in this life irk us? Pride. Why do so many things get under our skin and irritate us day to day? Why? Think about it. Because probably a lot of these things hit nerves of pride. These parts in us that still have to get rooted out. He says if we pray, humble ourselves, pray, seek, crave, require of necessity my face. Okay, let's just look at that for a minute. When's the last time that you likened your time with God or your prayer, your talking to God, your spending time with him? When is the time that you likened that as great and greater of a necessity as air is for you to breathe? Have you ever had anything happen where you felt like you couldn't breathe? Maybe you were a kid and you were, you know, were in too deep of water, or maybe someone was playing with you and they held you down too long. Or have anybody ever felt anything like that, whatever the circumstances, there's a moment of panic, right? There is something on the inside of us that immediately begins to trigger panic in our mind because we know that if anything, we need to breathe. The body knows that, and every signal is starting to red alert, I need to breathe. Do we feel that way about prayer? I gotta ask myself that. Do we feel that way about our time with the Lord? Do we feel like church is such a necessity that it's like air to my lungs? Because God said, don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together. God said that the local church means everything to him. So do we feel like, oh, I've got to get to church? I know we can't make it every time. I'm not talking about that. We all have stuff that comes up. I know, life. But you know what I mean? In our heart of hearts, the condition of our hearts, is it to that degree that we're seeking Him? He calls a meeting, and I'm so thankful you're here. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for honoring the Lord and coming. But do we feel like that? Do we feel like, okay, if God said to that, He's calling a meeting and He wants to speak to us, it is of the utmost necessity. Like air to my lungs, I have to be here. Yeah, think about it. Ask yourself. He said, if you require of necessity my face, I like that. You know, we spend a whole lot of time looking into other things, don't we? Looking into other things. It used to be an old country song. I remember being a little kid, and of course, my daddy's from the South. You all know that. And there used to be a song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. Anybody remember that? Who's bold enough to sing it? No, I'm kidding. Yeah, that's right. Looking for love in too many faces. I see some of you are singing it. So you know, you've got it going on in your head. What? Dreaming of now. Okay, no, we're not going to sing it. It's not going to edify you whatsoever. But we're so like that so many times in life. We have been given Jesus Himself. We have been given not just permission, but access. He wants us to come to Him with everything that we are, good, bad, ugly, everything. And so many times we go elsewhere. We seek other things. And He says, seek my face. Let me be all in all, right? And look what happens. It's not over with yet. That was step number two. And He says, and then turn. Number three, turn from their wicked ways. Wicked simply means twisted, warped, twisted. And we talked about, Pastor Wayne talked about that last night. Wrong ways of thinking, right? That unrenewed mind. Anything that is opposed, it goes opposite of God's kingdom, goes opposite of the word. The Bible says it's considered wicked. It's considered evil, right? So we call it like it is. And so many of us, we've had evil ways of thinking. And see, we go, oh, I don't have evil. Evil's like murder, and evil's like, well, evil's just simply anything opposed to God. Anything that's going opposite of God's will in your life and God's word. And so He says we turn from that. And Pastor talked about that last night regarding repentance. So we won't go a whole lot into that. But, you know, I will say this. Repentance in our lives, repentance is an act of humility. And it's so much more than just saying, I'm sorry. Yeah. Have you ever had something happen, maybe in a relationship, and have you ever, you know the difference when someone is truly sorry, they're so distraught in themselves, they're so humbled by the reality of what they've done, and they're so, so repentant. And then you know the difference when someone's just sorry they got caught. You know, God knows the difference too. He knows that difference in us. He knows when we're truly turning from a wicked way, from a twisted way, from any way that goes opposite of what His word says. And see, you have to keep requalifying that, because we say wicked way and you think, well, that's not me. I ain't killed anybody. That's not what I'm talking about. Nobody gets a pass. Nobody gets out in this. From the front row to the back, from me all the way back, everybody has something that we will have to turn from. change our way of thinking, change our way of doing, of living, so that we conform it to God's word. Amen. And so turning denotes action, doesn't it? It's more than just, oh, sorry, God. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I'll do better next time. It's a realization. It's a humbling of ourself and realizing that, God, I literally did something that I know you don't like. What was I thinking? I wasn't. Or it's, God, I knew exactly what I was doing. I chose to do it. I walked into it with my eyes wide open. And God, I'm so ashamed to say, but I wanted to do it. I hate that part of me. God, I don't want that in there. What is that? That's humility. That's saying all the stuff that God knows already. And that we've got to come to the place and say, instead of just saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry about that. No, repentance is so much more. It is truly a change. Amen? And notice the result of all this, just as Pastor Wayne said. He said, then. So you know what that tells me? It tells me that if we don't really get a grasp of what it means to humble ourselves, especially in this day and age, because the spirit of pride, oh my goodness, is just everywhere, so blatant. I don't need to listen to you. You can't tell me. It's my life. I do what I want. I'm a self-made man. You didn't even make yourself. Lie. Self-made. The only thing you made is a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You didn't make nothing. I'm self-made. I did. You didn't even give yourself breath. I mean, think about how dumb that is, right? It's so prideful. It's so stupid. It's prideful. It's so prideful. It's stupid. But this is the stuff that just, I mean, it gets said, and it gets in us, and it gets in this generation, and it gets in society. So then if we don't humble ourselves, it's possible to do all the right things and go through all the right motions, but to do it ineffectively. Ouch. Yeah. I mean, think about it. This has not been hidden from us. This has been here. And praise God, in his light we see light. So we're seeing more light now than we did before. Wonderful. But sometimes the word needs to be sobering. Not sometimes, a lot of time. And so we see what he's telling us here. And to use the word scary, it's a little scary to think that a Christian can go through all the motions and we can confess and declare and decree and do all these things, but it could be completely ineffective because it's not coming from a humbled heart. It's not coming from a heart that has spent time face to face with God. Amen. Amen. He says, then I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and notice, heal, healing, restoration, putting things back together better than they ever were, making it better than new, recreating. Yes, humility is always connected to healing, and healing is always connected to humility. Absolutely. Amen. There is a great connection. Now, for sake of time, go real quick. where we, my second scriptures I was writing down as the Lord was talking to me, James, let's go right back where we were. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. You know, I want to say this too. If we can get a hold of the revelation of this concerning humility, concerning pride, if we can get a hold of this, and if we can teach it to our children, and if we can teach it to our little ones, right? Oh my goodness. You know, there's a saying, you may have heard it said, this generation, this younger generation, there's a term that oftentimes you'll hear them called the entitlement generation. And it's what that means is that what's being realized is that there is a whole group of people coming up young in age, meaning even in 20s and 30s, teens, however, but they have this sense of entitlement, right? That you owe me, everybody owes me. I'm here and you should be glad, so you owe me. And what I do with my life, I do. You don't get a say, but you do owe me. And you see that, you run into that spirit, you run into that attitude so many times. You can go to stores, you can go to Starbucks, you can go anywhere. And there are times when I think, you ought to be grateful that you have a job. And yet they act like it is just, I mean, it is such a bother to wait on you. Have you ever had that happen somewhere? Can't smile, I'm definitely not going to talk to you, and I may not get your order right, but you will pay me for this, and you ought to be glad I'm here. That's that attitude. What is that? Pride. Pride. Anti-God, anti-Holy Spirit, anti-humility. Right? And then if you dare try to correct or say something, oh, well, you're just judging me. No, actually, I was trying to correct you. And that's foreign. It's like, how dare you, right? We don't want that. If you see things, you see sparks of that. You don't want that in your kids. You don't want that in your little ones. Mm-mm. James chapter 4. We don't want that in ourselves. Now, we don't like it when someone asks us to do something over, do we? Do you enjoy that? No. When you do something and someone says, you know, that wasn't quite, I think maybe you need to do that again. Do you smile and go, oh, I'm so glad you asked me to do it again. Thanks. Because you know what? I really wanted to do it twice. No, you're irked, aren't you? There's something on the inside of you. It's like, psh, you don't like the way I did the first time. You do it yourself. What is that? Right? How dare you ask me to do it again? You ought to be glad I did it the first time. Do it again. You do it yourself. You know all this conversation goes on in your head. You may not say it out loud, but you know you're thinking it. What is that? That is pride at work. Shocker in us. Yeah. James chapter 6, Amplified. But he, God, gives us more and more grace. How many of you could stand more grace? More ability. More ability to do what you cannot do in and of yourself. More God in your life. More God in your talk. More God in your walk. More God in your marriage. More God in everything. In your kids, everything. Just grace. Anointing. Right? He says he gives more and more. Really? Wow. Power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why he says, God, now listen to this, sets himself against the proud and haughty. Wow. That is heavy. That is heavy, heavy, heavy. That there is something that is so, there is something that is so detestable to God that he has to set himself against it. That God would literally set himself against. Well, what does Proverbs tell us about the seven things that God hates, right? He hates lying, it goes on, and then it talks about pride. So much so that God sets himself against. Do we understand that God being against is opposite of God being for? Okay, let me ask you this. This shouldn't be too hard. Would you rather live your life with God against you or rather live your life with God for you? Okay, so if we live our life in pride, God is... Aha. If we live our life with humility, God is. Ah. Okay. You know, if I could just pray, if I could just get God's attention, if God would just move in my life, perhaps you need to humble yourself. Perhaps there's areas in our life. Yeah. God sets himself against the proud and the haughty, but, praise God, thank God for that but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. What did we say? It's not what you need, it's what you can receive. If you're going to receive anything from God, you're going to receive on the level of your humility. Because what he might want you to receive, it might come in the form of correction. It might come in the form of an offense. That offends me that you said that to me. Really? That might be because it's working on you. It might be because there's some truth in it. It might be because you need to take what was said and look at it. But don't tell me. All these reactions that were so quick so many times, right? And we see it. If you see it from the littlest, you see it in the nursery, it's the nature of the flesh, right? You see it with your own kids. Now, honey, now mommy told you don't snatch their hand back. Raise their hand up to you. What is that? Nature of the flesh. Absolutely. And here's the thing. It's cute when they're two. It's not cute when you're 20. I mean, when you're 20, it's just downright ugly. You know, I remember when Gracie was little and she went through this stage, that wonderful independent two-year-old stage. And she went through this stage where no matter what you wanted to try to help her with, no, she insisted. And she wasn't quite able to say, I want to do it myself. But she put it together in her little way, and she would say, me do. Like, me do it, I'll do it. And so I said, honey, let mommy help you. And I remember trying to help her with something. She got red, and she goes, me do. I'm like, well, okay, you can do it, but honey, you need help with this because... me do. She gets so upset, you know. Go on to the next thing. Me do. It's like, okay, but I want to help you. I'm trying to help you. Well, how many times in our life has the father been saying, now, honey, I want to help you. Me do it. Me do. Me do my life. I do my life on my own terms. The one that's falling apart and I'm losing everything, I'll run right back to you. And the wonderful thing is he'll be there. But you didn't have to go all that. You didn't have to go down that road. You didn't have to lose everything to find him. He's there all the time. How many times, right? I'll do it my own way. You know, if there's anything ever in your life that you are not real sure that you want to consult God on because you really want to do it. Ever had those? But this is a great opportunity. Well, you know, why don't you pray? Yeah. But you know, I mean, the money would be amazing. Because I would have to work 23 hours in a day, but that's okay because, I mean, after all, the money would be amazing. I can sleep one. I mean, what an opportunity. Well, you know, have you prayed about it? Oh, well, you know, what's a great opportunity? Yeah, I heard that the first time. Yeah. Don't be fooled by my girlish looks, guys. I've been raised in the ministry. I have heard it all. I know you all think I'm 20, but I'm 42. Been around a little while anyway. And I cannot tell you how many scenarios I have lived through other people's lives and still made some of those same dumb mistakes myself. Pride, right? But if you ever have something, quote, opportunity, or whatever it is that you feel like, you know, you're hesitant to actually pray about, perhaps you might not want to do it. You might not want to go down that road because you know what? It will end up with, it's all going to be carried out by me do. You will have to do it. Because there won't be the grace. There won't be the grace. Because there wasn't the humility. Because the humility would say, God, Father, all right, here's the deal. This is what's being offered. This is what's been said. And I know you know there's a part of me that really wants to do this. Because I really think, you know, it could fast track me. I could get the house. I could do this. I could get the raise. I could do this. And da, da, da. But the words of Jesus should rise up. Nevertheless, not my will. Your will be done. What do you want in this situation? What do you want me to do? See, what kind of language is that? Humility. Right? Pride says, I'm going to do it, and I'll possibly pray about it later. Oh, but goodness. Okay, we have to find a quick stopping port, and then we can always pick it up tomorrow if you come back. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see who comes back. Verse 7. He says, so, he's not done. He says, so be subject to God. Be subject. Lay yourself down. Become his. Have you ever watched a movie and the king and he has these royal subjects? You just lay yourself down before him and say, my life is yours. I subject myself. I become your subject. So be subject to God. Because if you don't do that, you can't do what's next. You're not going to successfully resist the devil. Amplified says, stand firm against him and he will flee from you. Let me read you this out of the mirror, these two verses, and then we'll close and we'll pick this up tomorrow. And hopefully I won't be singing all by myself. Don't want to be. All right. James chapter 4, and out of the Mirror Bible, verse 6 and 7, it says, his gift of grace surpasses the onslaught of lust. Is that not powerful? And lust, again, you hear lust and you think, sexual things. Lust is any strong desire outside of the will of God for your life. Yeah. His gift of grace surpasses the onslaught of lust. Scripture says God opposes the haughty and gives grace to the humble. So yield yourselves in total abandonment under God's authority so that the devil knows who backs you when you resist him. And he will scramble away from you. Isn't that awesome? When we humble ourselves, that is letting the devil know that he's got my back. Why? Because God resists the proud, but he gives more grace. He embraces, he gives more grace to the humble. And so when we humble ourselves, it is a sure sign. Devil, I have all authority to resist you because guess who's backing me? This is not a me do. This is God backing me. I'm not on my own doing this, speaking empty words, speaking empty bindings and loosings when I have no authority to do it because I'm in pride. Amen. I love that. It says, then the devil will know who's backing you. Isn't that powerful? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen.
You don't have to run off.
I'll give you room.
I got room. I want to address that you brought up concerning the don't judge me thing. Because we're going to move into some areas, right? I want to be able to receive. Amen.
Amen.
And this thing that's been so popular with so many different ones, and, well, don't judge me, don't judge me, don't judge me. You know, she's saying, you know, that's pride talking here. But in as much as people say that they don't want to be judged, what they're really saying is this: I don't want to be held accountable. Are you hearing me? I don't want to be held accountable. That's what they're really saying. You know, love cares. And love also judges. Is it wrong for a Christian to judge? It's wrong if you don't. Are you here? It's wrong if you don't judge. It is very biblical to judge another person's actions.
Yes.
Are you here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you're not judging, saying, you know, well, you're going to go to hell and this type thing. No. But you judge a person's actions. So don't fall into that thing where people say, well, don't judge me. Well, I'm not judging you. Judge them. Hold them accountable to their actions. They don't want to be held accountable. Love them. Are you judging me? I'm judging you. That's wrong. Well, I can do what I want. No, you can't. Amen? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me show you something here. Just very, very quickly, I'll give you a few scriptures. I'm not going to preach another long time here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And just very, very quickly, we'll read down through here. Verse 10, it says, New Living. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. No one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Verse 15, those who are spiritual, it says, can evaluate. I think the New King James says judge, right? Those who are spiritual can evaluate. Can you say can?
Can.
Can evaluate, can judge all things. See, you're spiritual. You're living in line with the Word. Amen? But they themselves cannot be evaluated by others because they're living in line with the Word. Amen? There's nothing there to correct. Judgment comes to correct. Let me show you something else. Look over a few chapters. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You better learn how to judge. Judge justly according to the Word. There's nothing wrong with judging. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 1. When one of you has a dispute with another believer, how dare you file a lawsuit or ask a secular court to decide the matter instead of taking it to other believers? Don't you realize that someday we believers will judge the world? Who's going to do this? That's what it says, doesn't it? We believers will judge the world. And since you are going to judge the world, can't you decide even these little things among yourselves? Amen. Don't you realize, it says, that we will judge angels? So you should surely be able to resolve ordinary disputes in this life. Because you judge according to the Word. You judge justly. Amen? If you can't handle things in this light, how are you going to be able to stand and judge angels? See, you were created above the angels to be able to do that. Very often misquoted verse. Verses in Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus was talking about this. Turn and look at this. We're growing, aren't we? Yes. I'm giving you some love ammunition here. Yeah. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Now we read this, but we read it in a negative context or with negative ears because we don't... We're not reading it with a repentant mind. Now let's look at this. It says, do not judge others, and you'll not be judged. Okay. For you will be treated as you treat others. Okay. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. Okay. It's fine. And why worry about a speck in a friend's eye when you have a log in your own? See, we use that, right? Uh-huh. Keep going. How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Right? Amen. Now, we're talking about a certain type of person here. Huh? Amen. Hypocrite, he says. First, get rid of the log in your own eye. Notice that. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. So he's not saying don't judge your friend. Don't you judge him because, you know, you can be judged too. Well, if you're spiritual and you're living according to the Word and there's no speck in your eye, point out the speck in your brother's eye, you can save their life. So don't take these words and twist them and try to make them say something that they don't say. Don't judge me. Jesus said, don't judge. That's not what he was saying. Are you here? Amen. Amen. Oh, please judge me, because that's the love of God.
Amen.
We should want to be judged. Look forward to judgment, because that's our help. To keep us going in the right direction.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen? Amen?
Oh, that's good. And there's some more, but we'll stop there tonight. Praise God. I'm blessed.
Amen.
I received tonight.
Amen.
Amen. You receive?
Yes.
Let's give of our tithe and offering if you've got that. If not, fine. Don't have to. You got seed, let's sow seed.